Could this be a monopoly?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Justice Department is in the early stages of an investigation into alleged unfair business practices at IBM. The company is the leader in the mainframe computer market. Mainframes are those big computers that run databases and accounting programs. Competitors have complained that IBM is illegally bundling its software and hardware. Later today, the House Financial Services Committee looks into the health of the Federal Housing Administration. The FHA guarantees the mortgages of millions of homeowners, but delinquencies and defaults are rising, and the agency's cash reserves are falling. That has some in Congress worried, as Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
3 years ago, the Federal Housing Administration guaranteed less than 3% of mortgages in America. By last December, it made half of all home purchases possible. But
there has to be some tighter control of the risk that's there.
Lisa Jackson follows the FHA for John Burns Consulting. She says recently its losses have been mounting and capital reserves are sinking below minimums set by Congress. Brian Chappelle at Potomac Partners says the FHA can weather this storm.
They have roughly $30 billion in these accounts right now.
More than enough to pay for any expected defaults for at least 4 years. But Chappelle worries if Congress asks the FHA to tighten its lending standards, the agency will pull back.
And if FHA is not there to step in times like these, who else is going to do it?
Chappelle says right now, FHA-guaranteed loans are one of the only pillars still propping up the housing market. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Last night, Alcoa kicked off earnings season with an unexpected profit that's helping to boost investors' hopes of an economic recovery. Right now, overseas, shares are higher in Europe. Markets in Paris and Frankfurt are up by more than a percent, about a percent and a quarter, as a matter of fact. In London, the FTSE's added about 0.6%. In Asia, stocks closed in positive territory. The Hang Seng was up more than a percent. And the S&P and NASDAQ added more than a quarter of a percent yesterday on Wall Street. The Dow was flat, down about 5 points at 97.25. Well, it was back in February when Ticketmaster and Live Nation announced their plans to merge. Plan to create an 800,000-pound gorilla in the live event business is already being looked at by antitrust enforcers at the Justice Department. Now comes word that regulators in Britain don't like the sound of that deal. Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard has more.
The two California-based companies combined would dominate live music. Already, Ticketmaster is the world's biggest ticket-selling agency. Live Nation is the largest concert promoter. Together, the two companies would have annual sales of $6 billion. But the UK Competition Commission doesn't like the deal. It says Ticketmaster could become too powerful in Britain and squeeze out other ticketing agencies. Mark Sutherland is with Billboard magazine.
They're worried that it will lead to increased ticket prices. Traditionally, the UK ticket market is fairly competitive, so anything that would make it less competitive could have that effect.
The British regulator cannot stop the deal from going ahead, but it can insist on the two companies selling some of their British assets if they want to continue operating in the UK. The US Department of Justice is also examining the merger plan. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com.
We keep hearing from analysts that economic recovery is slowly taking hold, but a lot of indicators, unemployment and lending, to name a few, haven't really caught up with that notion. So how is it then that some financial soothsayers say once a recovery does take hold, it'll be a really strong one? We brought in economics correspondent Chris Farrell to talk to us about it. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So how can anyone come to this conclusion given all the data that we have?
Last year, corporate CEOs believed we might go into a depression. So they purged their workforce. They slashed that inventory. They put a halt to all capital spending plans. Well, things are starting to get a little bit better. So they're starting to make phone calls. We got to rebuild our inventory. We have to invest in new technologies. And by the way, we're going to work our people harder. Reversing the purge is going to be a bigger than expected boost to the economy.
I can't help but still be a skeptic, though, Chris. You know, when I read the data about, like, hours worked, you know, we're seeing hours worked at, like, 33 hours a week or something like that, and it keeps going down. I mean, how could that be the precursor to a strong recovery?
But let me come back to you with a counterargument.
All right.
If you look at the previous 9 downturns in our economy, the recoveries have always been stronger than expected. Well, we just went through the longest, deepest downturn since the 1930s. You know what I say? I think history is going to repeat itself.
I can't help but think inflation is going to be a problem, Chris. You have the price of gold surging and the dollar keeps taking hit after hit. I mean, that can't bode well, can it?
Inflation? What inflation? There is no inflation out there. There's not enough demand. I mean, you know what? This gold, it's a bubble. It's got all the signs of a bubble. Take a look at all the institutional money that all of a sudden that said, oh, we would never invest in gold. All of a sudden, they're piling in the gold. Tell you what, 3 months from now, let's talk about gold, because I have a feeling we're going to be talking about a boom-bust cycle.
And this is still a minority position, right?
Oh, this is absolutely a minority position. I mean, look, the consensus has a lot of strength behind it, just as you mentioned, your skepticism. But we know that the consensus is always wrong, right? It always is. So I'm hoping that the consensus is wrong and that we get a stronger than expected recovery, because what's the alternative? We get another downturn.
Economics correspondent Chris Farrell with us this morning. Chris, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, it's the dream of many athletes the world over to get to the Olympics, but it's not a cheap dream. For example, it cost New Zealand Taekwondo athlete Logan Campbell and his parents more than $100,000 to get to the Beijing Games last year. So for the Summer Games in 2012, Campbell is raising the money by operating a brothel in Auckland, where they're legal. The New Zealand Olympic Committee demands that he stop linking the Olympic financing plan with the parlor or face a lawsuit. Campbell is thinking of suing himself. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.